Elementary music teacher friend, you love what you do, but you might feel unappreciated and, in fact, unseen some days. You may even feel like you're on a music teacher island and just want to connect with other music teachers who can relate to both your struggles and wins when it comes to teaching elementary music. I get you and understand completely the feelings you're having. That's why each and every week, the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast will provide you with solo and guest episodes that will help you realize you're not alone in your music teaching journey. Throughout each episode, my goal is for you to be able to walk away with actionable steps and ideas to help you feel like you're ready to take on the new week with whatever challenges may be thrown your way. Hi, I'm your host, Jessica Paresta, and I'm so glad you're here. Whether you're at home, in your car, in the shower, or wherever else you're listening, grab your cup of coffee or whatever other beverage is nearby and listen in to the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast.
I'm Christy Hemingway, host of Ed Curation, a part of the Education Podcast Network. Just like the show you're listening to now. Shows on the network are individually owned and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other interesting education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.
Fine-tune your teaching and level up your students' musicianship with the Sound Thinking Academy PD program. The Academy is happening from June 12th to 23rd, 2023, and there are both synchronous or asynchronous options available. The Sound Thinking Academy is a professional development program that allows you to earn up to 60 PD credits from the comfort of your living room. The program provides research-based, interactive resources and professional development opportunities that foster audiation, musicianship, creativity, and innovation skills for your students. Upon registering for the program, you will receive 1 year access to their teaching resources, providing ongoing support for your growth and development as an educator. In addition, they're excited to offer a discount of $100 off for music teachers who are listeners of the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast. Simply use the code TDM100 at checkout to take advantage of this special offer. Don't miss this fantastic opportunity to grow and thrive as a music educator. Join the Sound Thinking Academy by clicking on the link in the show notes or head to soundthinkinginteractive.com and click on the link at the top that says Sound Thinking Interactive Academy and take the first step towards a more fulfilling and successful teaching practice. Hey friend, I hope you are doing well. Welcome back to the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast. I am excited you're joining me today and I cannot believe it's May. I just rhymed and I didn't mean to, so I guess you could say I'm a poet and I didn't know it. As my kids would say, Mom, you're telling a dad joke. But anyways, today's episode is about upper elementary. Specifically, we're going to talk about making the music classroom relevant to upper elementary students. Now, this is on my heart because this is a question, probably one of the most commonly asked questions I get from podcast listeners or those in my Harmony membership community or in my curriculum design roadmap course. I also see this question asked a lot in different music educator Facebook groups, on Instagram, and all the things. Now, I am not a self-proclaimed expert by any means in upper elementary music. I want to be the first to admit that teaching these lovely, lovely children of this age group, talking about fourth grade, fifth grade, mostly fifth grade, with some fourth grade, anyways, both of them, okay? When I'm saying upper elementary, I'm mostly referring to fourth and fifth graders. I also know that advice I give you, it's not like a magic wand. It's not something that's just going to be like, oh, okay, well, that was a simple fix. As with anything, The advice, I don't know what other word to use besides that, so I've said it twice. The advice you hear at a workshop, or you see on social media, or you hear on a podcast, or you read in a blog post, none of it is just something you implement and then the next day you see, you know, your classroom turn around for the good. It is a strategic an ongoing effort. It is something that takes consistency, as does anything in your music room. It is something that you need to try something if it doesn't work, to adapt and adjust. So the advice I'm going to share today are actual strategies I have done with Upper Elementary. I have coached music teachers in using with Upper Elementary. And so I just want to share some suggestions. And what I want you to do is, I know this is May, so you're like, oh, forget about it. I'm not doing this right now, Jessica. It's the end of the school year and I'm going crazy. I understand. I do. So what I want you to do though is maybe bookmark this episode. Maybe, I don't know, however you share your podcast, save your podcast episodes or share it with a friend for that matter that needs to hear this. I want you to revisit this episode when you go back to teaching in the fall, maybe sometime over the summer when you're thinking about Upper Elementary and you're like, I really kind of need to get in there and think through and process things, which by the way, that's what we just talked about in the Reflect and Renew Challenge, thinking about what worked well, what didn't go so well, what can you do better moving forward. And so that's what I always want you to do, is to reflect on your teaching. And so today we're going to reflect on Upper Elementary. What I'm going to do is share with you a question. We just wrapped up the very first cohort of the Curriculum Design Roadmap course. It was awesome. I'm excited to open the doors again soon, so be on the lookout for that. But every week after one of the modules would go live, I would go later in the week and answer questions that came in about that particular module. So one of the modules was about, or is about, it didn't go away, planning for different grade levels. And one of the lessons inside that module is upper elementary ideas. And I share a bunch of different ideas you can try. And you can, like I said, it's not an overnight fix, but you can try these different ideas if you haven't thought about them or use them in these different ways. But a question came in. And when I answered this question to the group, I thought, man, I need to kind of address this on the podcast because I know this is a super common question that comes up. So without further ado, that was the longest intro into getting into this episode ever. So I'm going to go ahead and get started. I'm going to read this question and I'm going to answer it the same way I did during my Facebook Live. So this student of my course, who's a music teacher, elementary music teacher, asked, I feel like with my older students, they really want music class to be relevant to them and they have no problem expressing when they feel like it isn't. I'd like to incorporate more contemporary music into my curriculum, and I struggle with how to find that music and then how to incorporate it in interesting ways. I have touched on this before on episode 197, all the way back to last year. I did a whole episode about popular music in the music classroom, so make sure you give that episode a listen if you haven't yet. But what I do want to focus on is not just talking about popular music and which songs to use, which I will incorporate that into this answer. But I answered specifically to her about, broke each part of her question down and I answered it. So I want to share with you what I answered. I said, you are exactly right. Older students want music to be relevant to them, and it's important they understand how what they're learning in your music room connects with what's actually happening in the real world, whether they pursue music as a career or not. Now, this next part I answered to her, you may be like, what? Because this is my honest viewpoint on this, and this is literally what I did with my students and what I will continue doing with my students. I said, I think it's great if done in a respectful way, if your students tell you their opinions about what activities and songs they're doing in the music room. Feedback is so important because that will help you to create better opportunities for them in future lessons and future school years. So hear what I said. She asked me, she said, they have no problem expressing when they feel like music isn't relevant to them in the music room. How many of you can connect with that thought? You feel like you have prepared this lesson that is super exciting, and your, let's say, fifth graders are going to really respond to it and enjoy it. But then you get some feedback that they're like, oh my gosh, this is boring, or this song is just old. Is this from the 1900s, as my fifth grade son says? I have one completing fifth grade right now. Or they say things like, who wrote this song, or, you know, whatever else, you know, the comments that come out. And so you start feeling a little bit of a way like, oh my gosh, there's a disconnect here. Or why don't they like what I'm planning? Or don't my students understand how much time I've spent planning lessons that I thought would go well? I thought this would be received well, and it's just not being received the way I thought it would. So when I answered her, if done in a respectful way, yes, even talking respectfully to your students, or if they're talking respectfully to you and saying their comments in a respectful way, I think especially with fifth graders, there should be an ongoing dialogue where you're asking their opinion. Don't just assume, ask them. And say, what did you like about this activity? What do you feel like should be different for next time? With the upcoming fifth graders for next year, what song do you think I could have used instead? Or what did you not like about this song? Ask them, get their opinion. Now, it doesn't mean every opinion coming out of their mouth is shaping what you're doing in your classroom. You can use discernment. You are an expert in your field. You are also the music teacher. So take the opinions, and you will be able to see through the lens of your teacher brain what opinions are just, you know, coming across, and just there's just an opinionated child who always has an opinion about something. You'll be able to discern that versus, wow, that feedback was really good, and I'm going to jot that down for next time. And so how I can change it up for later. So older students, like I answered this student in my course, I said they do want music to be relevant to them. They do need to understand how it connects to what's happening in the outside world. They do need to form a connection with the music they're singing and participating in the music room more than even your younger elementary students do. By the time they get to fifth grade and fourth grade, for that matter, music class needs to be relevant. It needs to be, and that word has a lot of different contexts. So before I keep going with my answer to her, I want to unpack some of what I said a little bit. So let's go back to they're sharing their opinions. Like I said, I have my own fifth grade son now, and his opinions are becoming, he's asking a lot more questions, age appropriately. If you know what I'm saying, they did the puberty class at school, but anyways, they're dealing with a lot of emotions and hormones and things that they used to just be totally, just easy to entertain, I guess you could say, is becoming a little bit more challenging. They're a little bit more worried about impressing their friends, and this isn't cool anymore, and all the other, you know, words they use and phrases that you got to keep up with, all those words. But they're not always being disrespectful. Sometimes they're just trying to state their opinion. My fifth grade son had a song he did the other day at school. And what's funny is he had said, "Mom, this song was so old. She keeps making us sing old songs." Then an hour later, I hear him singing this song and doing some kind of body percussion activity on his lap. So it went from him saying, "It's so boring," and to doing the activity. So although you may get some pushback from students of, "This is old, this is boring, I don't want to do this, why are we doing this, and you feel like you're having a hard time reaching those fifth graders, there's sometimes they will get that song stuck in their head, which is a good thing. They will go home and still do the activity that they refused to do in your classroom, okay? So we're going to talk about fifth graders I can't label them all the same. Every fifth grade child is not the same. You know, every student is not the same across the board, but in general, they're going to push back a little more. It's their age. It's the grade they're in. They are having fifth grade-itis, as I like to refer to it too. And so don't take it personally. Know that it is just reaching a new group of kids that, even though you've maybe have been at this school for, you've seen them all the way from kindergarten up, they are not pushing back because they don't like your class, because they don't like the music room. It is just their age group, okay? So I want to say that first of all. The second thing I wanted to touch on before I move on with my answer is when I was talking about letting them share their opinions and getting feedback from your students, sometimes the pushback I get on this is, but it's my classroom, but I'm the teacher, they're the student. What I say goes. I completely understand that. And you sometimes maybe view it as, which I did, this was my philosophy back in the day, and it totally shifted to a more student-centered classroom because I realized me just being the dictator wasn't working. And so if you've never taken the time to get student input, maybe on exit tickets, maybe just by having them raise their hand or having a class discussion, that really does transform what's happening in the music room. When your students feel like their voices are heard and you're not just hearing their opinion, but they see it being applied into a next class period, notice the little turnaround that starts happening. Remember at the beginning when I said it's not an overnight fix, but you're going to start noticing these subtle changes that start happening where they feel like they're being treated more like a middle school child or like an older child and their opinions are being heard. You're going to see this transformation start happening. So I wanted to touch on those things a little bit before I keep going. Okay, so her next question was about incorporating contemporary music into her classroom and struggling how to find the music and how to incorporate it. Well, like I said, I mentioned that I already did an episode about popular music, but I want to share some advice I gave here to her that may be things you already know, you're already aware of, but maybe some of it is new to you. So this is what I said. As for finding contemporary music or popular music, my first piece of advice is to turn to music teacher Facebook groups and literally type in the search bar contemporary or popular music. This is what I've already done. I'm in the process right now as I begin a new teaching position in the fall at a virtual school. I'll be the elementary music teacher. And I have an ongoing document, and actually one of the sections in this, I just call it the brain dump. I mean, there's really no other fancy way to put it. One of the sections is popular music. And I'm going through right now as we speak and thinking about ways I can make these songs on this list, ways I can use them. What concepts or objectives are they going to cover for students? And so that is one way I would suggest, and also doing a Google search will help you come up with ideas as well. That's exactly how I've curated my list. Other ways, go to Spotify, and there are several, actually in those Facebook groups and on Google, sometimes you will see different playlists come up. You will see different song suggestions, and I have literally gone to Spotify and found some different songs that I have curated into playlists. And so if you just search for me on Spotify, just search for Jessica Peresta, you should be able to see the playlist I have curated, and you can copy them and use them. I don't care. Like, I have playlists I have created for March Madness, which we know that's 1 month of the year. I really love basketball, if you didn't know that about me. Bucket drumming, nursery rhymes, and I actually put some on there for hip hop. I love using hip hop with students. Multicultural songs, drum circles, scarf songs, unwinding songs, like quieter activities, if you know what I mean. Lower elementary movement, vocal warm-ups, and so on and so forth. There are so many playlists, and I'm not done, but I do not mind if you go on my Spotify and you can just use them for yourself. There's also ways she asked to use the contemporary songs in her classroom in interesting ways. These are some suggestions I gave her. I said, first of all, listen to the song on your own, just like you would any other piece of music. You need to listen to it first so you're aware of how could you use this song. You don't just follow someone else's advice and say, oh, they said I could use this for rhythm. Well, how are you going to use it for rhythm? What rhythms are in the song for that matter? What ways are your students going to practice rhythms with this song? So listening to the song first, whatever the song is super important. Then think about what concepts it might be great to use with. If you have a concept map already, you know, outlined, or you're a curriculum map or scope and sequence, how are you going to plug these songs in? Do you have an ongoing songs and activities list that I have already talked about in several workshops and probably on this podcast a bajillion times? If you have a songs and activities ongoing list going, then add these popular songs to that list under the concepts they would cover really well. then I want you to teach it, okay? So the first time you bring in popular music into your classroom, the students' faces will be like, what? Because especially if they've never had that type of music in your music room, it's going to be exciting to see their faces like, what's happening? This is so fun. Like, we're doing some songs I listen to outside of the school, outside of the music room. And so bring in different music. Don't be afraid to try something new. Don't be afraid to add it to your ongoing list of folk songs and other songs that you use in the music room. Vary it up, change things up from time to time. If you keep these fifth graders and fourth graders on their toes, it's going to be fun. They're going to be excited to come in and to try new things in the music room. Now, I have 1,000 other things I could say about older elementary students, upper elementary students, but I really wanted to just cover this question that I was asked and the answer I gave this particular teacher in the hopes that it helps somebody else. So if you have any questions about anything you heard on the podcast today, or if there's any way I can support you, please always know you can reach out, send me a direct message on Instagram at Jessica Paresta, or shoot me an email at jessica@thedomesticmusician.com. And I'd love to answer any questions you have. And maybe you'll see it in an upcoming episode as well. So have an amazing day and I'll see you soon. Well, hey there. Thank you so much for listening into the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast. There is an exclusive Facebook group just for listeners of this podcast and any elementary music teacher called the Elementary Music Teacher Community Facebook group. Come on over and join us there where we have conversations around the podcast episodes and encourage each other each and every week. And also head to my website, thedomesticmusician.com. I have some free resources there that you can download to help you gain traction in your classroom today, as well as the blog and the membership site and all kinds of other goodies to help you keep going in your music teaching journey. I cannot wait to keep connecting with you and encouraging you and spurring you on in your journey of teaching elementary music. Hang in there, have an amazing week, and I will see you soon.